I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have any public comments or comments from the board or announcements? All right, let's move on to number four, approve the consent agenda. I would entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the consent agenda, that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll move right on to the regular agenda. We'll go into 5.1, discussion and possible action regarding the survey for the Birding and Nature Center site and how the site can be used for a new project, including an aquarium or other. And I think this is Richard Franke.
Good morning, I'm Richard Franke. And I think you all have, I think you've all seen the survey that Mahee and Rose did and kind of lays out where the improvements are and the amount of land that's still available for the development. And it, you look at it, there's a substantial amount of undeveloped property that needs to be utilized for economic development. The survey cost about $3,700. I think you had all allocated about $14,000 for the survey if it cost that much. So you've still got about $10,000 in what you've allocated. And what I would suggest, or would I'd like to request that you approve, is that we go back to Cambridge 7, who's the architectural firm that designed the aquarium, butterfly garden, and how it would tie into the existing building. And since it appears that most people, or at least the Birding Center people, do not want it attached to their building, that we allow them to go ahead and look at it from the standpoint of making two separate entities. One is the Birding Center, a standalone operation, and then an aquarium, butterfly garden, or other amenities up on the other portion of the properties to fully use utilize that piece of property. So I don't know how you feel about that, but you've allocated some money. I think we can get them to come up with an option or two as to how the balance of the property might be laid out, how it might be developed to accommodate additional amenities on the site. Do y'all agree? I mean, is that something that that you find acceptable to go ahead and further analyze the situation now that we have a survey?
Richard, I feel like we need to do a feasibility study, get someone to analyze what would be the best for us in that location, including, you know, analyzing the aquarium, butterfly garden, maybe something else, you know, just to reach out and say what would be of the best use and, you know, be best for South Padre. And a lot of people have said that we do need another tourism project, another tourism attraction for our guests that come and say it's a rainy day or it's too hot or it's whatever, and they want to reach out and do something different. So I think it's a great spot. I agree with you that we should study that and try to figure out what to put there.
Yeah.
And aquarium might work great, but I think it would be good to weigh, you know, several different options. Some of the things that I think have worked well recently is the interactive digital immersion venues. In Houston, I went to one that was like walking in space. You know, it was like you were up there in a spacecraft somewhere. And it was in a warehouse building, but there's traveling venues like that come and lease a building, and it changes. Right now, Houston's got one that's traveling that's a balloon museum. I'm going to go see it. And there was the space one. It came and went, but I think it's just worth looking into. I don't know that it works. I'm just saying we should get somebody to study this and help us come up with options.
Well, I think that would be what we'd ask them to do is look at the site, figure out how you can accommodate additional parking, entry, where a building might fit, and
right.
how big, and you know
right.
what could be contained in that building, and I think the really important thing is to look at the economic impact. What can you put on that piece of property that is going to enhance the island, is going to bring more visitors to the island, make it an educational, interesting amenity, and you know there you have to look. I mean, at what are the options? What could we feasibly do? So I think the first step is let's break the property up and see how much property can be utilized for what purpose, and then go from there.
Right. And it probably does need to be something separate than the birding center. So, you know, that was a good suggestion, too. How big is that piece?
Well, you own the property. The birding center doesn't own the property.
And right, so, right. Know. The city does.
And I think it's in your best interest as an economic development corporation. Let's look at economic impact. Let's see what can we do that's going to enhance the island, because we need some new things. And
We're not
getting them very fast, and so, you know, you're working on the marina, but that's down the road a ways. This is a site that, with proper planning, could be shovel ready to build something if you identify the location of the money to build it, and you own the land. It's not like you have to go find land. You own the land, so. I'd like to press on and see what we can come up with.
So in the survey, how big is this piece? Is it an acre? Is it about an acre? I see the dimensions, but I just don't see where they tell us exactly how big that Lot 1 Contrans subdivision is.
I'm not sure, Gail, exactly what you're asking me, but we'd probably send them the CAD file and let them put it on their computer. And then analyze, you know, here's what we can do. Whether do we want to change the entry coming in? I think maybe not. But you know, all those options are possibilities.
Yeah, I agree. There just seems to be one big section already right there that is usable. I'm not sure from this survey. It looks like it's in the entire birding center from Padre Boulevard to the bay. So, how much can we use?
Is it an acre or is it less than an? It's a little less than an acre, right? It's a little less than an acre. An acre
is that plot? Big
empty space.
Yeah,
that's what we want to get to.
Is it 1 acre or is it 2/3 of an acre? Or
that
what
makes
is?
Sense.
I think it was 0.65 acres, wasn't it? I think it was 0.65 from another. You know, when we were studying it a while back, when we were going to, like a long time ago, we were going to put the building up front before we were going to attach it. And I think it's not quite an acre, if I remember right. But I think what Richard's saying is you might get more land out if you, say, move the entry over on the, what is this, the south side, you know?
Oh, maybe. I see what you're saying.
You could probably use more, but I think what he's saying is that's something they would figure out.
Yeah, but then we might lose parking, and we're going to have another.
Yeah, no, I think
have another place for people to go.
No, we make
more parking.
Yeah, we'll make sure there's parking. I think.
Darla.
Yes.
Isn't most of that section what we have the lease? I mean, the permit from the.
We have a core
engineer?
Permit for it.
Okay, the core permit. I know you renewed it, what, last year or year before, and it was $50,000. Mm-hmm. How long is that permit
good for? I think it's 5 years.
5 years now?
I have to look.
If we build something on it,
mm-hmm.
Do we then not have to keep renewing that permit?
Correct.
Or what?
Correct.
They just say we can do something.
Yeah.
And if we do something, then that stops that permitting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious about.
Yeah.
So there is a permit for that vacant space you're saying
mm-hmm.
to build on.
So is the permit for a certain section or?
Yeah, it was for this part that's.
Lot 1?
Yeah, where, you know, it wasn't even wetlands. They said it was non-tidally influenced wetlands, because when we built the parking and the entry, the water drains over there.
Oh. But you can
So it was a non-tidally influenced that wetland that we had to get there.
Say, Gail, that I went to the Arte Museum in Vegas. I think you mentioned that you guys.
Uh-huh.
It was phenomenal. And they had a lot of ocean-themed.
Right.
And there was a lot of families. It was
right.
Packed.
I went to that art museum in Vegas, and there's another new one now called Infinity that I'm going to next month. But it's the same concept. It's interactive. It's an immersive digital experience. And so, you know, it's kind of the up and coming thing is, and Houston's got them coming and going. I don't know if they have one that's permanent, but definitely there's some traveling ones. And if you think about the tourists, you know, they're going to, once they've seen in some venue or event, they're going to, they say, I've been there, done that, maybe come back, bring other people.
That you can change.
But if you change it, if you can change it, then they'll come back. They'll keep coming back. So maybe that's worth looking into. Thank you, Richard. I think that's great. I think we should approve some sort of economic or feasibility study. To what do y'all think?
Do we need to specify?
What would this cost, Darla?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Richard, do you think the architect could do that for $10,000? Do you think he could do? Do you think Cambridge Brett?
I think what's left would be the Cambridge Southern would be glad to take a look at it, and they kind of indicated they'd work with whatever funds were available to come up with some ideas as to how the site might be divided into two locations for amenities. I think it'd be well worth the exercise to know exactly how another project might fit on that site.
So a motion to approve Cambridge Studies to specify what this property could possibly
allow for
in this space
for up to $10,000.
So can we get it done for $10,000?
That's what he's saying.
He's saying that they'll work with us.
Okay. I think that's something we ought to do.
Are you making a motion?
I am making a motion.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Congratulations there, Richard. Hopefully.
Unfortunately, I don't hear very well, so I don't know what your motion was.
Yes.
For you to do what you wanted to do for the $10,000. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes, Richard.
Sir. Thank you.
To contact.
Hey, Richard.
To contact Cambridge and see what they would be able to do with that property, what suggestions they would have. That's what
Loud, Lynn, because I'm not hearing you.
The $10,000 that we just approved is for you to contact Cambridge and have them brainstorm ideas, maybe several of them, of what could be done with that property as far as tourist attractions could be.
Right.
You know,
well, we could,
that's
that.
Yeah. That's what the motion was, and that's what we approved.
Okay.
Okay?
Fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Richard.
Okay, let's move on to 5.2, discussion and possible action regarding the quality of life guidelines. I think this is Lynn.
Yes. Okay. This was Blake's suggestion on page 2 that instead of, we have some bullet points on page 2, and one of them says, second one down says, initiatives that promote tourism, including cultural and heritage festivals or exhibits. He suggested that we change that to tourism-related initiatives that foster partnerships, collaborations, or community programming designed to enrich the visitor and resident experience. Examples include small business, entrepreneur support programs, cultural and heritage preservation projects, educational and environmental initiatives, wellness and recreation programming, and workforce development efforts tied to tourism. He didn't want it to be where it could be misconstrued for someone to come for event-type things that really conflict with what the CVB has grants for. Oh. So that he was kind of trying to stop some confusion. And I thought it was a good idea. So if y'all approve the Quality of Island Life grant guidelines, this change will be in that. And I would like to make a motion that we do approve the Quality of Island Life grant, not the program, but the guidelines, and with this replacement.
You just motioned?
Yes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. That's been on there for 6 months.
6 months? There's been a bit of work on that one.
We're a little slow sometimes. All right, 5.3 is update on the Causeway Marina Park project from Gail Hood.
So, Darla, is the...
Yes, if you'll click on that little paper clip, it'll say Causeway Marine Park concept
E
drawing. Yes.
Okay. Yes, it's on the iPad.
The audience.
It's also on the podium if you want to put it up. If you want to go to the podium. They already have it up, Gail.
Oh, they have it up.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody can see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Okay, this is our fourth concept drawing that we've been working on with the Marine Park Committee. And we're trying to get this to a point where we can take this to the Joint Committee and present that along with our surveys and studies so that they can guide us into what they think we should do next or shouldn't do or whatever, you know. I understand that they usually cut you back somewhere, but anyhow, based on the surveys and the studies, this is the best placement for those docks that we can obtain. You know, there's a lot of seagrass in there. We're getting around that channel. Fortunately, did not have that turtle grass in it, except in one little section that we'll have to mitigate. But these, the islands that you see, the habitat islands that are sort of in gray at the top, those will take care of any mitigation that we need to do where we have mangrove that needs to be moved or, you know, we need to dredge. So they'll be planting, there'll be different materials based on, you know, the turtles, the fish, the birds, all of that to help with that habitat out on the islands. That also directs the sediment and the currents where we don't have to dredge so much, and environmentally it's sensitive, along with the fact that we can have the paddle craft can go out from this dock that you see. You see where it says boat club and paddle craft? That could be designed to take care of launching those where they can go out and paddle around and not be in the way of those bigger boats on the other side. But, okay, so looking down towards Padre Boulevard, which is at the bottom of the screen here, the larger building is dry stack storage, which is one of the best profit centers of the entire project. These other buildings that you see here are retail space. There's about 53,000 square feet of retail space on the first floor. If need be, it could go higher. There's also rooftop balconies or observation decks for SpaceX launches. And down at the near Padre Boulevard, where you see that oval thing, that is a weigh-in station. There's also a lot of area right there that's open that would accommodate people that are there to observe tournaments. You know, we usually have hundreds of people that come for that. So at the end of that dock, the long dock at the T-head, will be where there'll be a crane to pick up the larger fish to be able to transport them down to the weigh-in station. And they use, you know, they use dollies, they use carts and different things. Y'all probably saw on Facebook this Bisbee tournament in Cabo.
I was there.
Oh, and it was some of our local people that won.
Yep.
About $2.5 million. I mean, it was a big deal.
Well,
that's
Ronnie.
How they got their fish down to the weigh-in station. It was pretty cool to see that on Facebook and how they did that.
Sandy's son, Kyler, was on that team.
Yeah, Sandy Ron Tanger. Weisfeld.
It's really cool.
Drummond.
Yeah. So the decking in between, you see the triangle shape here is a large amount of decking. There'll be some open areas for landscape in order to get sunlight down to the mangroves because we don't want to impact them any more than we have to. And there's ways to work with the mangrove where it's attractive and have it grow, you know, up through the open areas and all of that. The docks will be floating docks for hurricanes. There'll be some that'll, of course, you know, parts of that'll be fixed, but, you know, those docks will float based on the tide. The docks are 20 feet wide. That leaves lots of room for golf carts to pass and turn around. Most of the structures will be built on pilings to preserve the mangroves, not fill, you know. And this area that you see where the parking is, we're still working on that design, reevaluating the parking. There's an 80-foot easement along Padre Boulevard, and AEP has that easement. I think they would let us pave that if we needed to because they could get to their equipment better. You know, it would be good for them if we did. But we can only affect a certain amount of this entire area based on the mangrove and all of that. They're only going to give us like 25% that we can develop out of this because it's environmentally sensitive. So we have to keep that in consideration. So at the end over there, and this all of this could change, y'all, but right now this is just our little preliminary sketch. But there'll be a fuel dock, be a pump out station. There's not a pump out station in our area. I can't believe it. And any kind of maintenance, you know, that they would need to do right there at the dock. It's about 8 foot deep coming in the channel that goes east to west, that very long one. And then it's much deeper on the outside. That outside at the very top of this drawing that you see, that's side ties for the larger boats because we have like 30, 40, 50, 60 foot slips, but we also have side ties for those that, because we've had people that entered the TIFF tournament that were 90 something feet long. I mean, and there's nowhere to park those boats. They come out of Port Aransas, and if they don't have anything to weigh in, they don't come here. So, you know, we would like to acquire some of those boats. We understand there are boats now that cannot be accommodated at Sea Ranch. They're too large. I mean, anything over about, I don't know, 60 feet? I don't know the number. Really is difficult to find a place for them to moor those boats. So there's 278 slips in this drawing that could be expanded. They've allocated a space here for a boat club only because that works in other areas. And, you know, in Port Isabel, there's people that rent boats. So we're thinking maybe that's going to be something we would consider. But there's on the parking, there's staging for buses if we ever needed. You see on the right-hand side of the drawing down towards Padre Boulevard, there's an area that could accommodate some buses if we needed it. So our next step is finalizing a drawing, making sure we have these Habitat Islands modeled. They're modeled in a computer right now. We think we're close to where we want to be, but they're actually going to set that up in a warehouse where they watch the flow of the water and make sure it goes the direction they want it to go to accomplish what we need. And so then we'll be going to the Joint Committee. We're looking for their suggestions. We want them to tell us what works and doesn't work or what they think before we actually start applying for permits. And so.
The Joint Committee is the Corps, the GLO, and Texas. I think it's U.S. Fish and Wildlife. He said always says Texas Parks and Wildlife, but unless it changed, it used to be
really?
U.S. Fish and U.S. Wildlife.
Fish and Wildlife.
Maybe it's Texas Parks and Wildlife.
I haven't been to one of those meetings yet, so I'm not real sure.
I mean, maybe it's four of them or something. I haven't been to one since the birding center was built, so it was a long time ago.
Good. Well, I'm happy to answer any questions. Anybody have any questions? You guys? Anybody? Okay. Come on up.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on up. Go ahead and announce who you are so they'll know.
Sure. Erin Hartwell, just quick question. How deep is the... How deep is the dredging going to be on the out and the exterior part of the...
Good question.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you look at the north side of this, the up at the top of the drawing, this is already a natural channel through there. The dredging will go somewhere between 12 and 15 feet because those larger boats, we want to be able to accommodate a boat up to 100 feet. And but it won't be up in this east to west dock 8 feet because those docks there are 30 foot. And when you get farther out where the water naturally deepens now, there's 40, 50, 60 foot slips. And then, of course, those for the larger ones on the outside. But there's already a really good channel through there and a really good one that's east to west right there. So that's, and it turned out better than we expected. We, you know, started out trying to work with Sea Ranch and it would have required a lot more dredging and going out at, compared to this. And this has just worked out to be a great site besides the owners saying they'll donate the land.
Part that's all the way down toward the beach. There was nothing there, right? We had the dock come straight in to the land.
And I'm almost, sorry, can't hear you, Jim.
Almost all of that area that is right there by Padre Boulevard wasn't developed until this diagram. What made the change? Because last time it was the dock just came kind of in and it hit there on the dock.
Well, the surveys and the studies we did, that's what determined the drawing we have now, because it was just conceptual that we would need to go out. We knew there was some sort of channel there, but it hadn't been studied yet because it cost money to do that. So when we first started this whole project, we had two choices. The feasibility study showed Sea Ranch and it showed this one. Well, we picked Sea Ranch first to try to work with it because it had less impact environmentally. And that's what the Joint Committee told Greg Wakamp with Edgewater Resources. We need to focus on that. So we did. And we started trying to work with the county because they own the land and it just didn't work out. So we put it on hold for a month or two and then said, okay, let's start trying to work with this one. And everything just started falling into place. So
it's my only question is, as it's coming in to meet the land, it was just a boardwalk in, and now we have all these buildings that are proposed. Why did all those buildings come up from the previous one?
Good question. Okay, so, you know, of course, all of this is conceptual, but the investor that we have now wants retail space, and they said, as much as you can give us. And so that was our, you know, idea in drawing this. But, you know, we need to prove that this is a viable project. We have to show them, okay, you you know, there's slip rentals, there's fuel sales, there's dry stack storage, there's retail space income, you know, to prove that this is a viable project for any investor.
Well, that makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, happy to answer any other questions, anybody? Call me if you need me.
Gail. Very good job.
It gets better and better.
It does.
All right, let's move on to 5.4, discussion and possible action regarding a contribution to the Friends of Animal Rescue.
Okay, in your packet should be, at the last meeting, the question was asked, what would they need the money for? So I reached out to them, and they have given us a wish list in the packet and with the amounts. The thing that they need the most is the cat housing, and that cost would be $5,000. And then they list some things that they would like to do with the building, but
I think that also, the security cameras are kind of important for them. They in reading what they had to say, that they're not functioning at all. So that's $1,000.
Okay.
And they do depend on them when they're inside and people pull up with items that they want to donate. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see if we can also throw in that $1,000.
You going to make a motion?
I have a question first. Okay. Randy? Yeah, I think that's you. I can't see that well anymore.
Randy?
Randy, I have a question. Do we get financials from them about, like, profit and loss and income and expense and what they spend their money on? The Friends of Animal Rescue?
Yes, we do.
We do? Okay.
I'll probably speak for a second.
What does the committee think that they're going to propose to give? Have y'all, is that in writing right now?
That's what we're considering.
Yeah, they sent
they
us.
They have a list.
They sent us a list of.
Yeah.
Wants.
The cat housing for $5,000, electrical outlets and lighting to the building, $3,000, roofing gutters, $3,000, security cameras, $1,000, painting of the interior, $1,200 to $2,000, and updating the display racks and boards for the gift shop area was $1,000 to $2,000. So it was several different things. I know that for some of us, the cat housing caught our attention. And Glenda's saying that the security cameras were important to her. Other than that, we haven't discussed any of these others that I know of.
Okay. So I mentioned the other day to one of our council people, and I'll just mention again that whenever y'all are thinking of, whenever any organizations considering what they should do and not do when it comes to Friends of Animal, I can just tell you that from a city standpoint, we have a responsibility and a requirement to take care of animals. And I can just tell you that I know some people have questioned before, somebody gave them 50, the city gave them 50,000. Where the thing is that you have no idea what it's going to take if we ever have to take this on ourselves and do it, and we have a requirement to do it. And I just keep having these flashbacks from when I was the police chief / emergency management coordinator in Surfside, and we didn't have an animal shelter. And we had a makeshift animal shelter at the Public Works Barn that got us in a lot of trouble with the state. So then we had to beg and plead Lake Jackson to let us tag onto their coattail. It was super expensive, and we never really had a great solution. This city has a solution. We don't want to lose it. I can tell you that right now. We do not want to ever have these folks that do so good with these animals say we're tired, we don't get the support, we can't do it, and then it falls in our lap and we're going to have to do it. That $50,000 is going to look really good. I just wanted to give a shout out for them. They do a lot, and I know from personal experience what it takes to operate those organizations, and they're not easy.
Randy?
Well, and Randy, also the connection to us is that they take care of the shorebirds and stuff that keep being sent to the Birding and Nature Center, which is what ties in the
No, they reach out and do a lot of extra stuff. And the cats, you know, I know people are, a lot of people If you're a true animal lover, then you love them all. But I mean, I know that some people are like, oh, really, these cats, and what can we do? And they breed so much. But the bottom line is, it's our requirement and our responsibility as an incorporated city to take care of animals, regardless whether someone drops them off, no matter what happens. It becomes our responsibility, and it's a big component. And I can tell you that we do have to take care of these animals, and this is a great solution. So I'm glad that we do already work with them, and I know they feel that we do from EDC, from the city and everybody, but I just would like everybody to keep embracing them, because I'm just telling you, we don't ever want to lose that opportunity that we have.
So Randy, you mentioned in this other city, you know, taking care of animal shelters and all. What does it normally cost for a city like this to have an animal shelter, and what does the city now contribute to them in order to help them?
I didn't come with the exact numbers. I know that I think we're given, was it 60,000 this year versus 50, but
75.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, we more, and they're going through a lot of transition period right now, trying to upgrade, as you saw in the list of things that they're saying are defunct and need fixing. But that's, I hate to say it, but I mean, literally, that's a drop in the bucket. When we're talking about the money that I remember us having to spend in the past at another entity, also, you got to remember that was 17 years ago I was there. Wow. And prices have gone up. I can tell you that if you ever want to just explore some stuff, I think I'm almost positive they still post all their numbers publicly. Lake Jackson, the city of Lake Jackson's the one that helps take care of Freeport, Oyster Creek, and Surfside, and Jones Creek, which are multiple cities in a jurisdictional area over there. And if you pull up their numbers of what it takes, they have full-time staff that are commissioned through the police department, but they're not police officers. They're animal control certified professionals, and they handle that lower Brazosport area. And I worked well with them, was great friends with some of the people that headed that operation off, but it was super expensive. I mean, they had to have, you know, medicine and veterinarian assistance and shelters and heaters and coolers, and their operation's quite big, and they have vehicles that go out and, you know, capture animals and take care of them and treat them, and professionals on the staff 24/7 that work that operation. And I know this operation has a lot of volunteers, and it has a kind of a makeshift system, because we're required to take care of animals 24 hours a day. We all the time, unfortunately, you know, people come down here on vacation and they bring their animals with them, and then they have an incident, maybe a major accident, or maybe unfortunately a DWI or something of that nature. And the police department takes control of the vehicle, and next thing you know, we're stuck with two dogs and a cat in a car, and it's 2 a.m. So there's a procedure that our local animal shelters worked out with us to be able to house and take care of animals 24/7, and they're doing it on really, if you want to know the truth, a shoestring budget.
Wow. Well, I don't know why we wouldn't approve several of these items on their list and put it in our budget in the future. I mean, we just approved our budget for the year, but for next year, just make it a line item like we do some of the others, like the fishing futures and all. Just make it a line item,
darling,
like the city does.
Do we have $15,000 if we wanted to, if we chose to do that? Do we have $15,000?
Yes, we would take it out of the designated projects. I think we could move it from there.
Yeah.
Make a motion that we donate $15,000 for this wish to this wish list. I don't know if it actually gets them quite there. Y'all want to add it up faster than I did.
13-2, 14-2,
15,000. I make a motion that we give them $15,000 to accomplish this wish list.
I second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right. Thanks, Randy. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, thank you, Randy.
Move on to 5.5, Executive Director's Activity Report, including economic indicators, projects, and events. It looks like we had a good month.
Yes, we did. I added these. I didn't get the financials in time when the packet had to go out with that new law. I got to send it out a few days earlier. But so they're going to be independent files instead of one scan together, but I'll go over them. So first of all, for the sales tax revenue for September, the amount was that we collected was $466,394, which was up 18.32% from last year. The year 2021 was better. And then in August, since we didn't have a meeting last month, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the August was $534,030, which was up 6.32%. And that was the highest August on record, just like we had the highest July on record. And then for the next chart, which is the occupancy tax revenue, in August, we collected $1,484,571, which was up 20.57% from last year. Only 2020 was better. And then in September, we collected $692,182, which was just slightly higher than last year, 0.85. So September was a little low I'll talk to Rodrigo and see if there's maybe something that they haven't collected. Sometimes money comes in a little bit later and they add it in. So that number might go up. For property tax revenue, let's see on that one. The September collections were $65,399 and the October collections were $4,028,588. October is the largest month of the year and it's the most we ever have collected in October.
Why do you think that is?
Because
which one? Why we collected?
Yeah. The rates have gone up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or more value. We've added a lot of businesses and buildings, and I don't know if that would already show up, though.
Well, Darla, this ties into my question. Why did we keep hearing all summer long how terrible things were? I mean, were those just rumors?
I only heard it from two people. Well, everybody I've talked to said I had a banger year.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year was not a good year. Yeah, last year was not a good year, but obviously this was a good year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. They were wrong. Mm-hmm. And here's the proof.
The numbers don't lie, I guess. Okay, and then for building permits, let's see. We have for building permits in September, we collected we had valuations of $2,318,834. The commercial and residential were pretty split. It was $1.2 million for the commercial and residential, $1.038. There was just a lot of smaller projects on that. But in October, we have valuations of $3,535,781. Commercial was $3,027,000, which was $2.9 million for the Spacecraft Ales Brewery. That's at 160 Padre Boulevard. They finally pulled their permit and they're going to start construction. Oh. It's kind of like, I think it's like where Jeremiah was or a little bit more. It's called Spacecraft Ales.
Oh.
They have a website, but there's not really much on it. It said coming 2025 and now it says coming 2026, but they must be ready to build since they pulled that permit for that valuation.
Right.
The address is 160 Padre Boulevard. It's a restaurant, bar, and brewery.
Yeah, they're going to have a rooftop.
Yeah, and it says it's going to be the largest brewery in south of San Antonio or something like that. So that was it for the building permits. Okay, so on the projects, for the Birding and Nature Center, we did pay. The TWIA bill came in, Texas Windstorm Insurance Association bill came in, and it was the same amount as last year, which is good news. It did not go up. It was $48,000. It's actually been that for 2 years. It's been that for a few years. According to the lease agreement with the Birding Center, if you recall, they're going to reimburse us for insurance, and it goes up in 10% increments every year. So they're going to be reimbursing us $34,000 of that. And I said it was okay to do in two payments. They've already given us a check for $17,000, and then they'll give us another check for $17,000 next month. The core permit for the work, wetlands work, has been received. Yay! So we got that. That's to do all that work out in the wetlands where we have to redredge the ponds and get rid of the cat, some of the cattails and that kind of thing. Waiting on proposals. Javier is getting the proposals. He's working with someone on a proposal. We had gotten one a while back from Daniel Bryant. I'm going to contact him again, or maybe you can talk to him. One of the things he said in that last proposal, he did it over a year ago, but it was he can reach certain areas with his equipment. I just want to know if that's still true, but we're going to have to try to get, you know, some of, with a, it's probably going to be about $200,000 is what it could cost. That's the estimate we're kind of getting. So with that, a large amount of money, we want to try to get as many proposals as possible, but it's a very unique project, and there's not a lot of people that have equipment to do that and go out there and do all that. So it's going to be a tight turnaround because we really want the work to be in January because of the nesting season with the birds. You have to do it before April 1st. So, and it typically has taken about a month to do the work. With the man that used to do it, he did it the first three times. He passed away. So that's why we've been, and he, you know, that was just very unfortunate because he built the boardwalks. He knows that area, you know, but we have to find someone new to do it. We have a facility reserve fund for these kinds of projects, and it was on our facility reserve study. I think the birding center only has about 50,000 of that, and I'm not exactly sure on that amount, but I think they have something like that in their budget. So they're going to be coming to us to help pay for this. She's looking for grants, but it's not going to be, it'll have to be for the next one. We really should be doing this every 3 years, and it's been like six. We're way past due.
Are they applying for grants? I mean,
yeah, she's been applying for grants, and she did get two grants, but they're like $10,000 or something like that to go towards this 200. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, as soon as we get the proposal, hopefully it'll be on the December meeting.
Didn't we approve them? I think it's $15,000 to finish those ponds out front, and they're still unfinished.
No, because the grass is just going to have to grow in and finish around the edges. They were looking at maybe putting rocks or something, but it was just the grass natural, and it's already working. It'll fill in around that liner that
doesn't
you see.
Doesn't look like it's working.
It takes a little time. No, I think they finally finished it. It's been about maybe 6 or 7 months ago.
Really?
It takes a while, though, for the grass to come around the edges.
Okay, didn't we approve money for them to fix that, though?
Yeah, it's been fixed. It's fixed. From the leak. There was a leak, and they replaced the liner.
Oh, I know. They replaced the liner.
Yeah.
And then they didn't get the edges done, and we gave more money to finish off the edges.
No, we never did approve the money for the edges. We didn't want to spend the money on the edges.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't do that. And I think the birding center was looking at, I mean, it was going to be crazy expensive to put bulbs around there. We just, yeah. I wasn't at the Birding Center board meeting because I had some artist interviews, but I will send you guys. I just realized I didn't send you all what's in their packet like I usually do. So I'll email you the reports, the staff reports. But if anybody has any questions on what I went over, let me know.
Did you email us the economic indicators?
Yes, they're on the, well, they're on this pack. They're in the packet, but I'll email them to you separate. Okay, so on the art business incubator, we had three artist exit interviews, and we did accept a new artist. She's a painter from Georgia. We're still looking for two more, and we have some good prospects. We have Shelly Losey from the Art Lounge on the art business incubator board now, and she's real in tune with the artist. She had a show on Saturday night at the Art Lounge, and 400 people went through the door.
Nice.
And she sold $18,000 worth of art in that one night, and I'm sure she'll be selling more. So she's just, with that location, what she's done is just remarkable because, you know, location's everything. And she was an alumni and did not want to wait for the 2,500 spaces and just went in there, and we were so nervous. Oh, my gosh, you know, where's she going way over there? No one's going to find her. And it's just been great. She's a SpaceX preferred vendor. She's really a go-getter. So we're really lucky to have her on the board, and she's going to really help out a lot. We're planning the Aura fundraiser. Lynn is on that committee. That is going to be, we did have to change the date to March 28th because Shelley had a, there's one of those listening sessions at the Art Lounge when we were initially going to do it. So I'll have more information as that comes available. We will be getting a table. They're going to be, Lynn's working on helping get people there. Last year was our first year for it, and we really didn't know how it was going to go, and it ended up being a really great event.
It's one of the best events, or probably the best event I've ever been to.
It's fun because there's no auction or anything like that. You just pay the, it was $100 a ticket, but you go through all the artists are in the different studio spaces painting or making their art, and then it's the five senses, you know, smell, taste, and they have partner with restaurants. We've got some restaurants.
Partners and they had little, you know, food appetizer things with wines, and it was outstanding.
Yeah, I think it's
it was.
It'll be, I think it's something that'll just grow every year. So, and that'll be our annual fundraiser for the Art Business Incubator. The Art Business Incubator 990 tax return has been filed. That got sent in yesterday. And I think that's all I have on the Art Business Incubator for now. Let's see. Will had to resign from the board because he's going to be submitting a loan application to us. He bought the property where the old putt-putt was, you know, and he's going to put in a drive-through coffee restaurant, a drive-through, Cafe Karma drive-through, I guess, and that is the money we have in that First Community Bank. It's $175,000. I don't think he's going to borrow the whole amount. But once I receive all his materials, I'm going to give them to John Reed to review and check the collateral, check the credit, and all that stuff. And then we will need to set the interest rate as a board. And, you know, I think the last one we did one for Murphy a long time ago. Then we did one for the Birding Center. And as it's been paid back, it goes into that bank account and it's been getting interest. So I think we were doing 3%, but I talked to, for those two, but I talked to the bank and said, what kind of interest rate would you get from, and he said 8%. So we probably want to do like 5 or 6.
So when we were
we want getting, it to be better than a bank. It's a well, low what interest does, loan.
One question would be, do you know, or can we look up, ChatGPT could probably tell us right now what the SBA does, because that was always lower.
Mm-hmm.
It encouraged business.
Yeah.
That I type think, of interest
I'll ask
rate.
John, but I think what he was saying was that's so the best rate they
how could did 3% compare to what the bank was getting then whenever we made that loan?
I don't remember, but it was a couple percent lower. Okay. It's usually a couple percent lower, but we'll have to discuss that in a meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it should be the December meeting.
SBA is at 7 right now.
SBA, hold on a minute. Oh, never mind.
They have different programs, and it depends, like for equipment, they'll have some kind of loan and all that kind of thing. So,
but it's the same price.
It's supposed to be beneficial for them to come to us.
So SBA, SBA loan. 5, okay, yeah. Recent rates are 5.6 to 6.6 for SBA loans.
Okay.
And I would think there was a tie-in for that. I mean, to
yeah.
me, I can relate that easily.
Yeah.
What SBA was doing compared to what we're trying to do.
I'll do a little bit more research on that for the December meeting. Okay, the Sand Dollars for Success, I think I'm going to open that up in January for the applications, and then in February they'll write the plans, and then March meeting or April, sometimes we meet in March or we move the meeting a little bit. I don't think we did last year, but anyway, that would be the presentations and approval, and that'll be flexible if somebody knows they're going to be out, and I want as many as the board members to be at those presentations as as can be. So we obviously are going to be getting a few new board members, so we can decide that later. We have been, Gail and I have been asking some people to apply. We've gotten a lot of applications in. If you all know anybody that wants to apply, I think Glenda also had someone apply. So, you know, I've been thinking of Sand Dollars people. I mean, and, you know, like the Galanes and Sandy did apply. So anyway, any the more applications, the better. I think the next EDC meeting will be December 16th. And I think that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
Any more questions for Darla? Okay. Then meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, everyone.